never filtered, always fun.
Have you ever heard Kenny G anywhere?
I've heard his bar play is out of this world.
Well, his hair is ridiculous, isn't it?
Really, his bar play?
Sexual tones are coming out of that saxophone.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, Mike Babcock will join us in about 10 minutes. We'll catch up with the head coach of the Maple Leafs, Mike Babcock, at 4:10. I think it's a positive Tuesday. Raptors won big last night.
That was a good... I watched the game. They played well.
They played really well last night.
Kyle Lowry had it going early on. I think everyone, from top to bottom, the whole team was on fire.
He really did want everyone to know that he had back issues.
Man, was he laying down. Wasn't he laying down?
That was just like, come on, dude.
I loved DeMar DeRozan's answer today. He was asked, you know, how he feels about what Kyle's going through, and he basically said, he's fine. Like, don't ask me. He'll be fine. Like, I'm not worried about it at all. Yeah. Almost as if he knows Lowry's kind of putting on a bit of a show. Yeah. But I don't care. Play like that. Keep winning ball games. And this is the beauty of this team is – they change on a dime.
4 days ago, we were like, they're done. Like, I didn't like the
dynamic. Don't have a good feeling about this.
They played so horribly in game three. Like, they got embarrassed. It was brutal. And maybe that was the best thing that could have happened to them because it was a wake-up call.
Yeah.
It gave Dwayne Casey some ammunition to walk in the room and say, boys, who do you think you are? What do you think you've achieved here?
I think Justin Williams talked about it yesterday, where it was after maybe game three, where they said to each other, joke's over here, guys. Like,
get going.
You better
here.
Start doing something, or this is going to be a problem.
And now, already today, it's like every player said we got to treat game six like it's a game seven. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Damari Carroll said it 15 times today. Got to treat game six like it's a game seven. Well, it's not going to happen. So if you lose game six, you just go home, you go to Vegas? Because if it's being treated like a game seven and you lose, that means you're out.
Then you got to treat game seven like game seven.
Right. Has anyone ever treated game seven like it's game one? Has that ever happened?
I don't know. I mean, that would actually be hilarious if guys were just all loose and dinking around. And maybe.
It's a long series. I don't know if I'm going to play. Got to tweak back. If it was a game seven, I'd play, but we're treating it like it's a game one. So I don't know if I'm going to play tonight.
I find it funny. Like, you guys have a basic understanding how I approach things. It's like, I just used to dumb things down. It's like, this is a game. I'm good at it. Just go out and you do the same thing you've always done. Like, there's all these questions, and we break down everything. We analyze it. We talk about it, strategize. But it's just, you just go and do what you do. And you see what happens.
That's what makes athletes freaks of nature. That's what makes you different
and
beasts.
And when you're in the zone, when you're in that bubble, you're in the car, you're underground, all the noise, it's not about you. It's just you, your ability to go on the court, the ice, the field, and you do what you do. And everybody else, it's this big thing, but you don't see it.
You also have the luxury of being on a team. Right. I think it would be different. Like, we talk about golf all the time. If you got a two-shot lead going into Sunday at the Masters and you've never won a major, I can't imagine you would have the same approach as someone on a team.
Yeah. Right.
But I have such an appreciation, like, when I retired, going to an event or a hockey game and realizing how much goes into it, how many people go, all the people that are, like, the Maple Leaf Square. And it's, like, as the athlete, you don't get to see that. Because you're underground, you're up the tunnel, up the stairs, and you don't notice it.
You're right. It's amazing to see what fans live outside
of
the players. Because and now with social media and instantaneous information, I don't know how, as a player, how I would have handled it with not only the good times, but the bad times seem so hard on players. Like, it's the end of the world, right? You have a bad game and you're reading comments. Like, I couldn't look at my mentions if I was a player.
I'm with you, man.
And have an off night.
No way.
Man, you just get rinsed.
No way.
And then great night, like, hey, this guy's great. Like, it's just so weird. The highs and lows, I think, as a player now because of information are so much higher and so much lower. Whereas before, like O said, you just kind of bumble along. You have a bad game. Yeah, you know it's going to be in the paper the next day. You know it's going to be on the news. But you just kind of get through to the next game. Whereas Now you would have to live and breathe it every second.
Well, think about what the Blue Jays are going through right now. They lose again last night.
2-1.
They can't hit.
Yeah.
Devin Travis, he had it on a tee for them in the ninth. Like, he's really been struggling, but he broke out on Sunday. 2-on, 1-out, hits into a double play. Gibbons gets tossed out for a second straight game. He's melting down. And you play every single day. Like, I remember, I think it was Shulman I was talking to, and Dan said, there's no better sport than baseball if you're a fan of a winning team, because they play every single day, and it seems like they win every day. So you don't have to wait. You're like, let's get at it again tonight, right, man. These guys are unreal. They're going to win 95 games. Let's play. And there's no worse sport to be a fan of when your team is hot garbage, because they lose all the time.
Think how exciting it would be to be a Yankees fan in the late 90s when they were doing, like, it's Jeter at second or shortstop every day, and it's
all day, all
winning
night.
Winning and championships. And
you guys see that Jeter and Jeb Bush apparently won the bid to buy the Miami Marlins. So Jeter may go executive and actually have an ownership stake in the Miami Marlins.
Wow.
Like, what is his gift basket routine like now? Does it go from Yankees swag to Marlins swag?
Dude, he's married. I don't think he does the gift basket anymore.
Well,
what, does he give the wife a gift basket every day?
Hypothetically speaking.
Post-shower routine and a gift basket?
Let's pretend it doesn't work out for the Jeters.
Yeah.
I would think Yankee swag in that gift basket is worth a lot more than Marlins swag. Like, the Marlins are a nothing team.
Is there ever...
He wasn't putting Yankee swag in the gift basket.
That's exactly what he was doing. He was signing baseballs and tickets and stuff.
I thought it was
allegedly.
Belts and perfume and
potpourri.
I'm telling you, man. I've heard, like, Yankee hats.
That's the one thing we should try and track down. If ever one of his friends put a gift basket like on eBay or something, or opened up the contents of it and said, this is what I was given to Jeter post-shower.
How much would you pay for a Jeter gift basket?
Not the post-shower.
I know that. Of course not. But assuming you could get a state-of-the-art,
right,
never-touched gift basket.
Unwrapped.
Original.
The lady carried it down from his place, put it in the back of the limo, and then put it in her closet when she got home, and said, oh, you know what? I've got a gift basket here from Jeter when
put
I hooked up with him.
Put it in a safe somewhere. Like, it's never been touched. It is in pristine
condition. That should be a poll question. How much would you pay for a Jeter gift basket post, what is it called, hookup? Post?
Yeah, it's basically a hookup. I mean, let's all be adults here. Yeah. We know what was going on. Jeter wasn't giving gift baskets out for a spooning routine.
No, but like post-hookup.
Okay.
How much would the Jeter basket go for?
Steph, set a poll up and throw that out there. We'll throw out a bunch of different options. Like, I would think if I was a bar owner in New York, if I owned, like, Scores, I would spend a fortune to buy that.
Would you spend 20 grand on that gift basket if you own Scores?
Minimum.
In New York City.
Without even knowing what's in it, I would gamble on there being some great content in there. Because imagine he had a jersey, a hat, perfume. Like, who knows what he's got? He's got a loofah in there.
A loofah. Yeah, like shower materials. That's what it is.
Who
His
knows?
Loofah.
It may be. Quickly, before we transition to the Leaf news, can we tell this one guy who keeps sending us pictures of us
as women?
As women, the face app. Like,
Ray is horrendous looking.
Is that me on the top
that's
right?
That's you on the top right.
I'm actually hot.
You think you look good there?
Yeah, I'm a hot chick.
Dude,
well, how did they get rid of the beard on your face?
Well,
I don't know.
But, yeah, Ray's got a weird look. I look 12 years old. Like, it's creepy.
I look a little weird, too. Like, I can't figure out my face on that. But whoever
Ray
has done that.
Ray is a witch. Isn't he an ugly-looking chick?
He's a critter.
Ray
is just a haggard librarian.
Swiping left on Ray's Tinder account, I must admit.
Just a
It is funny because last night I think they had Jonas in there.
They did have Jonas.
And Jonas wasn't bad.
That's the thing. My wife looked at it and she goes, Jonas is a pretty good-looking woman.
That's what Steph said, too. And I said, well, don't say that.
Well, hey, a compliment is a compliment. So to that guy who keeps sending us the pics of us with the face app, please stop. We're not looking to get involved in that, okay? All right, so Mike Babcock will join us here in a minute. And he spoke with the media. Luce spoke with the media. Lots of positivity. Yeah. I want to ask him out of the gate, like, is he relishing this or does it bother him at all that last year they finished 30th place and it was celebrated. Right. Like the streets were loaded with fans. Like, yes, 30th place, thankfully.
Right.
This year, they just get in and lose in six, and it's the most positive Monday and Tuesday you've ever seen for a team that.
But maybe we should ask him.
That got knocked out.
You know, is that the end of the
expectations? It's the pain over.
Yeah, the pain over, like the next level. I think people are expecting that next level now. Like, the word is pass. Is it the wrong word to use? Like a pass from the fan base last year. This year it was house money. Like next year, expectations are through the roof.
Oh, no question, man. Like it doesn't really matter what they say or what gets peddled. I mean, the fans are sitting there saying the pain is over.
Right.
There's no more pain. Nothing but good times.
Right.
Let's bring in the head coach of the Maple Leafs. Here's Mike Babcock. How do you feel about that, Mike, that a lot of the fans are feeling as if the pain that you talked about 2 years ago is now over and it's nothing but good times from here on out?
I think that's you three talking about it, not the fans.
You think
not
so?
True, potentially. Not true.
You know, that's what I would tell you is if city's fired up, and I don't blame them, I would be too. I actually think it was a good break for the media, too. They didn't have to carve us. They were able to write honest stories that were positive. I think you get tired of the team being not good enough, and you want them to be good. You're covering this team every single day. You want it to be good. It's good for the hockey world for the team to be good. I think the team's vastly improved. I don't think we're at the point where we want to be, that when the pucks dropped in September, you know you're in the playoffs. We're not at that point. We don't have enough depth yet. In saying that, we're going in the right direction, and we're just going to stay the course with our plan and keep adding pieces the best we possibly can so we have the depth so that we can do it year after year.
And you mentioned that earlier today about how you want to improve during the offseason. You have to improve. Yourself and Lou kept saying that. You have to improve. You can't get caught up in what happened this year. In which areas, how do you hope to improve going into next season?
Well, just obviously players. So, you know, I like what we did last summer with our goaltender. I really like the fact that you come to the rink each day and you know which goalie's going to start. And even if the goalie doesn't play good, you know which goalie's starting the next game. I think that's a great settling factor for our team, for an organization. Now, obviously, we feel we need more, both up front and on the back end. And we're going to go both looking after that.
Mike, you talked about the group having a good summer as far as working out. Is that some of your younger guys just committing to being pros and getting stronger, getting that man strength so they win those battles in the corner, those 50-50 battles?
Yeah, for sure. And you know it. A 19-year-old kid that's 200 pounds is not near as strong as a 30-year-old man who's 200 pounds, and their heaviness on the puck and their battle level to keep it. We got to become a heavier team, and a lot of that's going to happen this summer by getting to work. We got a great sports science group there. We need to get to work. The other thing is, guys that have come from other organizations and aren't used to the way you go about things, some guys got to get quicker. So there's a lot of explosive work that has to take place. And then we got a young enough group. There's still a lot of development. And guys in today's game spend the summer getting better. They pick something to get better, whether that be their shooting, whether that be their puck handling, that be their skating. It's important that we take steps here this summer.
And you mentioned that about Austin Matthews today, and obviously he had an incredible year. I think we'd all agree he's a lock for the Calder, just a special player. But you said today he's got to improve. In which ways are you hoping he can and will improve this summer?
Well, I thought one of the biggest things that happened to Matty this year is his pace through the neutral zone. When I'd watch him prior, his pace through the neutral zone wasn't like it is now. The second thing is his ability to play without the puck, so he has it all the time. I've never seen a young guy do it this quick, this fast. And then the thing I really liked about the playoff time for him, the physicality in his game, and not necessarily just on defense to get it back on offense, his heaviness on the puck, and then his ability to separate someone from the puck quickly in defense to get back on offense. I think the guy, he's a sponge. He's learning all the time. It's amazing to me. And his leadership skills are so good because it's not what he says. It's how hard he works every day and how much fun he has. And he's got a great ability to evaluate himself. He's an impressive guy.
with Mike Babcock. The expectations could not have been higher for him. He goes first overall in a city like this. I thought he handled it incredibly well from the outside, but you were there with him every day. Considering what your expectations were coming into the season, how do you think Matthews handled the spotlight in Toronto?
Well, I think he's fantastic. That's what I like about him. He's a humble guy, smart, comes from great parents. Like, when you see him the first time around his parents, you're pumped because he's got that much respect. Respect for me is something you learn, and he's done a real good job with that. He's that way with his teammates. He's that way with his staff. I think he's real approachable to the media and the fans. I thought he was excellent, but he's businesslike. He's businesslike. He's not goofing off. He's about the game and being the best he can possibly be.
How impressed were you with William Nylander, how he progressed this year? I know he had some inconsistencies. You said he had to work away from the puck to get it back. I thought coming down the stretch in the playoffs, he was fantastic.
I agree with you totally. I think that might be the biggest difference in any one player this year, just because his competitiveness. Willie's a gifted guy, and he's a great kid. But that intensity you need every shift, sometimes it's not as good for him. And he's really come a long way. Now, the other thing is, when you're as gifted as he is, you didn't have to do it before. It didn't matter. But to play in the National Hockey League and to be as good as he wants to be, you know, you got to compete every second of every shift. And, you know, Willie learned a lot this year at playoff time, too. It's when you're out there and the puck goes in your net and you're not standing in the right spot, it hurts. Sometimes those wounds last a long time, but they usually make you remember, and you end up doing things right.
You have mentioned in terms of Nylander's future that you could see him playing center. You were asked about that today. You said that won't happen next year. So if it's not going to happen next year, how do you envision that transition working out in the future, getting Nylander to the center of the ice?
Well, what happened already is suddenly in playoffs he took the right-hand draws, Matty took the left-hand draws. He was good in the face-off circle on the power force. So we didn't let that happen at the start. He just graduated to doing that. But the way we're set up right now with the three centers, I don't need a center right now to get him the amount of minutes he needs to get. And so he's got better opportunity to play the amount of minutes he needs in offensive situations, playing on the wall, at least through next year.
With Mike Babcock, head coach of the Maple Leafs here on Overdrive. The other big rookie, there were a lot of them this year, but clearly Mitch Marner had a spectacular year. His playoff, though, wasn't necessarily reflective of the way he played during the regular season. What do you hope he learned through those six games?
Well, I think the thing that happened to Mitchie most, though, is when he got sick there. And he got mono there, and that, I thought, knocked him back. It took him a while to get the same pop back in him, and then you kind of lose a bit of swagger, and then the playoffs come and you got no room. But the thing about him, I actually thought in game six in the first period was as good as he had been in the playoffs. I thought he really had good pop and good energy. And Mitchie loves hockey. He absolutely loves hockey. He goes about it in a positive way. He's a worker. He's got great sense and competitiveness. And this is a big summer for him. He's going to get a lot stronger. He's growing a lot since we drafted him. He's a way taller kid than he was. And over time, he's going to put on some more meat. Now, he's never, ever going to be a heavy guy or a big guy, but he's going to be a lot stronger guy. And he already, pound for pound, is very strong, but he can get much stronger.
Well, and you mentioned a similar sentiment when it comes to Nazem Kadri today and the expectations for him to keep growing and putting muscle on. This is a guy who had 32 goals this year. That's a career year for him. Yet, I think a lot of people would define him as a kind of a shutdown guy, a pest type who gets in the heads of the opposition. How would you define his role? Is he more skill? Is he more pest, shutdown? I mean, how would you break down what you hope to see out of Kadri going forward?
Well, he's got great edges. He's got a good offensive skill. Moving from the half wall to the man in the middle on the power play really helped. He doesn't have a big shot, but he's got courage, and he finds the loose pucks, and he can get it in the back of the net, so that helped him score. He relishes playing against the best guys. For Naz to be as good as he's capable of being, I consider Naz, I actually do with Van Riemsdyk too, I consider them young in their development. They can still get better. They're a lot better. Naz really committed to fitness last summer, and we need him to do it again to find another level. You're going to play head-to-head in a series against Backstrom. for 6 or 7 games and you want to win in the end, you got to be able to outdo that guy. So he needs another level there. We've talked about that. He knows that now, too. And I think until you live it, until you understand it, I don't think you can really know. But he's committed to doing that for himself, obviously, and that's a big situation for the Leafs as well.
Well, he is a guy, again, he had a career year in terms of goals, Bozak career year in terms of points, JVR as well. I thought Gardner had his best year of his career. I thought Riley was spectacular in the playoffs. These are all guys, though, that are defined as vets. And if they had career years, how did they improve on that? How can you expect those guys who you know, hit the marks that they haven't hit before to grow on that? Is that a reasonable expectation going into next year?
Well, I think what you're asking me is, can they be better and not have as good a stats? I sure think so. So I'm not as concerned about the 32 goals as I am about how you approach it and how dominant you are when you're on the ice, how much better you can get in the face-off circle and how much better you check. Can he get 32 goals again? Absolutely, if that's what he got. But that, to me, is not going to be how I measure it. And so when I look at those guys, I thought Bozak got better and better and better defensively this year. I thought he was a more complete player. He can do it again, for sure. Van Riemsdyk got better on the cycle. James got way stronger last summer, and he's committed to doing it again. He's put on unbelievable leg power over the last year and a half, and he can still do more. So these guys are trying hard. I got to give them a lot of credit. We've asked them to work, and they've done the work, and they're reaping the benefits. So, you know, I think there's a lot of pretty motivated guys.
With Mike Babcock here on Overdrive, obviously a focal point for a lot of people going into the offseason is the captaincy and the vacancy when it comes to that position or that role. You said today it wasn't, you know, a priority necessarily at this point. Lou reiterated the same thing. But you've been in the league for a long time. It feels like, from my standpoint, the importance of having a captain or the role of captain has maybe changed and evolved over the years. How has the importance of having a captain changed from when you first got into the league to where you are today?
Well, we're going to have a captain. I just don't know when we're going to have him. And then we want to do that at the right time. The second thing I would say to you is our leadership group is, I like our guys on our team, but it's also, we're trying to get more young guys involved in that the best we possibly can and grow our group together. But I think it's important that every guy's a leader in his own way and does his own thing. And we try to create the best accountability we can, coach the player, player to coach, and player to player. And I think the group's done a pretty good job of that. Is I thought as the year went on, they got more and more committed to doing things right. And to me, that's a big part of your leadership group, is demanding it from one another.
How much added pressure do you think would come with being a captain in Toronto?
That's a great question. So, because I don't know the answer to that. I know that Jan Funuf took a beating here. And in my opinion, once I got to know Dion, unfairly. And so I'm cognizant that's happened. And so that's what I like about what's going on right now.
Obviously, the captaincy is about the room and about the players. I mean, would it be a situation where you would allow the teammates, the other players, to vote on it, or will it be yourself and Lou and Brendan making that call?
Yeah, I never really thought about it. You know, we haven't discussed that part of it, to tell you the truth. We've just discussed more about when it would happen. Well, we don't spend much time on it. Lou and I spent 1 minute on this today. That's the first time we've talked about it since last year.
Well, there's a lot of fans waiting to put a C on a certain jersey, and I guess we'll have to wait to see where it's going.
What you guys get paid the big money for is you guys can get that going any way you want.
That's right. We'll probably spark that conversation later today.
I've already got mine. I'm just waiting to bring it out.
That's right. That's right. Well, congrats on a fun season, and we're looking forward to seeing where everything goes during the offseason. Thank you for doing this today, Mike.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me on, and we appreciate the support. Great.
You got it. There he is, Mike Babcock, head coach of the Maple Leafs. I think everyone, they're doing a dance. Everyone knows what's going on here, but,
no, but it's
just a matter of timing, I think.
I like this answer saying they haven't talked about who would. I mean, we all know who it's going to be.
Austin Matthews. It's
no,
just
I know.
Whether it's going to be next year or the year after, it's pretty simple.
Right, but I mean, as far as them having that conversation, they know.
Although it's interesting he brings up Dion and what Dion went through. Like, he did see that firsthand
right.
for 50 games.
Yeah.
Now, Dion Phaneuf was in a completely different world than what Auston Matthews is in, clearly.
Yeah. And plus, he was tied to a team that was not successful. A
right.
core that was not successful. That's not Auston Matthews. Auston Matthews is a superstar, and he's tied to something, a young core that is moving forward and just made the playoffs. So, but I think Mike was reserving that because maybe they've thought about putting Auston right there front. I mean, oh, you talked about it too. He's got to answer questions every day. You saw Matt Sundin
yes.
every day have to answer questions. Now, Austin's a great leader by on his play on the ice. We heard Justin Williams say it yesterday.
And that's all you need. I played with Ron Francis. He was my captain for a long time. Didn't say a whole lot. Like, there was no rah-rah. He had a presence in the locker room when he walked in, and you had a respect for him that he had an approach to the game that you knew you didn't want to let him down. I couldn't because I was his right winger. It's like, you got to go out there and play.
You're right.
And you don't need that rah-rah guy. It's just, I think some people think the captain is like, team meetings and listen to me, listen to, that's not the way it is.
It isn't, but what I wanted to add on top of that is Auston plays like that. His play speaks for itself, but how big of an adjustment, and I think that's probably what they're talking about, where he's got to be rolled, like it's not the rookie rule anymore. He's not a rookie next year.
And there's different
elements. He's got to be rolled out every day.
Sometimes the captain's got to go to the front of the plane to the coach and say, we need a day off tomorrow.
And that's what happened to McDavid, remember?
Right.
Second week of the year when they had a CBA day off and McClellan wanted to change it, and a lot of the focus was surrounding McDavid.
Right.
And there were some that believed, I'm not sure if there's any truth to it, but if that was a 28-year-old vet,
he would have said, go.
He would have said, take a lap. No, we're not doing it. But maybe as a 19-year-old, he's thinking, okay, I guess, you know, let's
but
do it.
It is interesting, but that's that he brought up the Phaneuf situation just for. Like, Auston Matthews' personality, he is all business, but it gets old. Like, it gets old talking every day. And I know lots of captains that have, not in this market, though. That's the difference, because this market, let's be honest, there's 50 microphones every day. People have to write stories, right?
Honestly, there's a lot of similarities between the way that the two guys have approached the media. I mean, Matthews, very guarded. He's not a big personality. Phaneuf was incredibly guarded. Like, he would not say anything, really. He would talk, but without saying anything. Very rarely did we come in and say, wow, I can't believe Dion went down that road.
Yeah.
Or what a comment that was. Wow, there's an hour of material. And Sundin was the same way. Sundin wasn't a guy that was going to – I don't remember any rants from Sundin or meltdowns or anything like that.
No, there was never that, we got to get our heads out of our asses and get this thing going.
It was always just kind of even-keeled, let's do it because this is the way it works, and hey, this is the way it's going to go. But
it's just interesting that he brought that up, though,
mm-hmm.
because maybe there is a little collective pause there saying, hey, you know, we all know he is their leader, but maybe a little time to reflect on to whether to strap it on right away or to let it kind of settle. I don't know.
Honestly, I walk away from that. I still think Matthews will be the C by opening night. I'm not convinced it's 100%. Just based on what they said today and what Babcock said. And you know,
what's your Jerry's on it?
You're a 50-50?
No, I'm higher than that. I'd say 80%.
We'll save it for tomorrow.
Ooh.
Okay.
Well, I have to talk to Jerry, though.
Yeah, we'll see if Jerry's willing
to talk about it.
Mix that in. All right, let's get the Jeter gift bag poll going here.
Yeah,
we'll get
let's
into
have
that.
Some fun. That was a great interview. You went Larry King, but you did a good job.
Sorry about that.
No, that was outstanding because there were some great questions and follow-ups.
Although I could tell he was on his cell phone. I'm like, this is going to drop.
It's going to drop.
I'm like, 100%. He's going to go under some tunnel downtown and it's gone.
And he didn't ask who I was this year, so that was a pleasant surprise.
And I buttered him up with a nice, there was almost a bromance going there.
Right.
Who is this?
Well, listen, how about Lamorello walking off thanking everyone? It's a weird, where are we? Like, it's such a weird vibe. Everyone's
But
usually the GM walks off and is avoiding garbage being thrown at them.
Right.
But at what point, though? That's what I was asking.
This is year two,
and it's rainbows and sunshine right now. But now the expectation level takes up another notch, right?
No doubt about that. Bob McKenzie coming up. Sam Mitchell will join us, looking back on a big Game 5 win by the Raps.
In studio?
No, I think he's going to call in. He might be in Milwaukee. They'll be flying down there at some point.
Yeah.
So we'll ask him about what life is like in Milwaukee. And Ray's coming up. We'll talk to him about his face app and how awful he looks as a woman.
There was a lot of people asking, like, let's see it. But I don't know if Steph retweeted it. I don't know if we want to.
We'll see. We'll talk amongst ourselves and figure that out.
Yeah.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. All right, Grit Grinder later in the hour. Might have to throw John Gibbons into the mix. Gets tossed two games in a row.
He's trying to wind his team up. How many times? Was it six times last year he got the gate?
I think it was seven. It was in that ballpark.
We had a Jerry's percentage that he was going to either equal that or go over, and I think we all went under.
New contract, I thought he'd be a little bit more relaxed, but no. A 5-14 start can set pretty much anyone off.
Yeah.
He's going for the record. Get tossed like 45 times.
Well, if they continue to play like that.
Can't hit, man. It's the same story. It just.
Like, how close are you to throwing the towel in? Like, I was looking at their record last night. Like, it's not good.
No.
But they can make some hay. Well,
pack together of teams that started like that. Ultimately made the playoffs. You're not going to have a long list.
It doesn't really happen. I mean, what you're in already is miracle mode.
Yeah. Really?
Moneyball, Oakland Athletics, down the stretch, redonkulousness.
Right. Like, can it happen? Yes, it can happen, but you are already in miracle mode. Like, I think Scotty Mack was tweeting about this last week, that for them to get to 90 wins, which is always a magic number, I think it'll be less than that to get a wild card spot. It's probably 86, 87, 88 wins.
Right.
But to get there, they'd have to play close to 600 baseball. And the only team that did that last year was the Cubs.
Right.
They're not a 600 baseball team. Like, even if they started well, no one would be sitting here saying, I could see them playing 600 ball the rest of the way.
Yeah.
That's just not what they're not built that way. I thought they could be mid-80s, high-80s, and plug away and stay in it and get good pitching, which they have. Their starting rotation's been fine. Lariano was good again yesterday. Their bullpen came in and held down the fort for the most part.
But everyone's talking about their age.
Well, they're the oldest team in baseball.
Right.
And Donaldson's hurt. Happ is hurt now. Sanchez. Tulo's back on the DL.
I guess so, it's not going well.
No, and John Gibbons is freaking out, and they still can't hit. So, yeah, I mean, if you're sitting here saying they're done, I can't argue against that.
Really?
I think the question becomes, how low can they go? Because for 20 years, yeah, they weren't a playoff team, but they also weren't the worst team in the league. Like, they haven't had the first overall pick or even a top three pick. They were always kind of hovering around 500, picking 10th or 12th. Ricky Romero, they had, I think they picked him 6th overall. That was the highest pick I can think of. So is it going to get to a point where you're like, you know what, blow it up, trade pieces, be awful, win 65 games and hope to get a top pick? Maybe. I mean, it's tough to admit that in April, though. I mean,
it's crazy.
There's 145 games left or whatever. Anyway, we'll continue with that. Sam Mitchell coming up in about an hour, looking back on a big Raptors win last night. Ray's coming up. Bob McKenzie as well. Grit Grinder later in the hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050. Time now for a News Talk 1010 traffic and weather report. Here's Adjua.
Still a slow go on the westbound Gardner and some brand new issues. Westbound Gardner west of Jarvis. You have a stalled transport truck. It's blocking the right lane. Continues jammed to pass that point to approaching Spadina. Made a collision. It was in the right lane. That problem did get cleared. Northbound 427 at the 409. Found a stalled vehicle. It's taking out that left lane. On the westbound 41 in the express at Poor Union, with a stalled transport truck. It was in the right lane. Problems there have cleared. On in-town city streets, a reminder, due to a gas leak, southbound Kipling, the right lane closed between Birmingham and New Toronto. Pretty cloudy for tonight. We may see some showers just in the early evening. We clear after, then a low of 7. For tomorrow, some sun and cloud and a high of 17. From the News Talk 1010 Traffic Center, I'm Adjua Nsiayepwa.
And time now for a Sports Center update. Here's Fergie.
Thanks, Brian. This TSN 1050 Sports Center update for Krabby Joe's, where pints of Molson Canadian are only $5 for every Toronto playoff game day, plus a chance to win a Toronto jersey at every location. The Maple Leafs reached unexpected heights this season. On Locker Cleanout Day today, Tyler Bozak was asked about dealing with higher expectations next season.
Sure, they're going to be sky high next year, but we're confident in here, and we believe in our abilities, so you know, hopefully everyone has a good summer. We come in ready to rock.
Kasperi Kapanen won't be shutting it down just yet. He's joining the Marlies for their playoff run. The Raptors will be at Milwaukee Thursday night trying to nail down a spot in round two versus Cleveland. And the Blue Jays at St. Louis tonight taking on a hot Cardinals team that's won six of its last seven. Marco Estrada facing the Cards' Michael Wacha. And now, more Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog and the playoff voice of the Raptors, TSN 1050, Toronto.
So we've got the Jeter poll question up on Twitter, at Overdrive1050. The news today, that Jeter is teaming up with Jeb Bush, who could not be more opposite than Jeter. Like, there's no way Jeb Bush has been in a club in 30 years.
No.
That guy's rolling in libraries while Jeter's knocking out massive nights at the biggest clubs in New York.
Yes, having a time or two.
Big time. But I guess they're teaming up with a few other investors, and they have won the bid to buy the Marlins from Jeffrey Loria. So we'll see if it actually ends up happening. But you know, I threw it out there. If Jeter ended up single again and the gift baskets came back into the rotation, would it go from Yankee swag to Marlin swag now? Is he Mr. Marlin now?
Yeah.
And we're asking people, how much would you pay for an authentic Jeter gift basket, one that was placed in a safe that was never touched.
Right.
No one knows what's in there. One paycheck, two paychecks, three paychecks or more. A lot of people are writing in, they're like, they would decline it if it was free. Why would you not take a free gift basket?
Yeah, but people are taking it literally. People are taking it literally, though. Like we're tongue-in-cheek having some fun, and they must not be listening to the show. It must be people that follow the online.
Well, and furthermore, you don't have to do anything to get the gift basket.
Yeah, you're not having a post shower routine.
No, you don't have to fulfill the certain duties to get the gift basket. We're just talking afterwards. The gift basket's waiting for you.
It's hypothetical.
Could be anything in there. I said I would probably give up a couple of paychecks for that. Yep. Maybe more. I think that would be worth a lot of money.
At least one paycheck for me.
Minimum one paycheck. Who knows what's in there? I just want to know what's in that gift basket. I'm dying to find out.
There has to be.
Go to barn door detail.
Oh, man. There's a lot of potential options. So
I love it.
I'll say this, though, man. He's got that much money. Like that is a sign of the times. Like a lot of these players that have that kind of money to invest, like Magic, Jordan. You know LeBron's going to own a team someday.
Well, just think of some of those, like,
Gretzky.
A-Rod contracts, like their contracts were more valuable than some organizations are worth.
No question.
It's like, how does that even make sense?
Like Stanton is playing with the Marlins. He signed a $300 million contract. So if Jeter gets in there, I guess he's going to be, you know, writing some checks for Stanton.
Wow.
But like, it's so much money. Like LeBron is worth probably $1 billion, I would think.
Probably going to get there, yeah. If he's not, he's going to get there.
Right. And once you're in that stratosphere, you can buy a team. But teams are going for ridiculous amounts. Yeah, like the Marlins reportedly worth like $1.2, $1.3 billion.
Well, that's why Jeter saddled up with Jeb Bush. Because I'm sure there's some money behind Jeb Bush's situation.
Yeah, I would think that family's probably got some cash. I wonder if Georgie will be kicking around. Bring George in.
Make a speech or two. You think of how much fun people made of George Bush's speeches. That fool me once, shame on you.
That's one of my favorite
that's
clips.
A daily occurrence. People are picking apart what Trump says daily.
Well, someone just tweeted out, I guess he's signing another executive order. Like this guy every day he's signing a new executive order.
This guy is working.
And he said today there's too many words in there, so he's not gonna read it all. That's the president. Just give me something to sign,
quiet,
I'll sign it.
Quiet, quiet.
Yes.
It's good to know that he's trusting the people around him. Anyway, Ray Ferraro will join us in about 15 minutes. Your boy, Travis Green, looks like he's taken over in Vancouver. My lookalike.
Walking into a hornet's nest. You're a lookalike. What people think you...
People have said that. People are saying. A lot of people say, as Trump might say.
a lot of my close friends.
A lot of people are telling me
that
I resemble Travis Green.
A little bit. Ray, I mean, we can't bring it up. Ray used to work him over.
Like, about his looks?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
But
I don't
want to
get. Well, I'm going to take a run at his looks as a woman based on the face app.
No, but Ray
Who's
used
the Twitter account that does the face app?
I don't know. I'll find it.
Yeah, it's on like it got tweeted to us. So I don't know who it is. Oh, it's Tucker Wilson.
It's terrible.
Yeah, I don't know. It's anyway. It's not a good look for us.
No. All right, so we'll get into Travis Green and his situation in Vancouver. We haven't mentioned Matthews not going to the World Hockey Championships. We'll talk about that a little bit, too, and recap some of our conversation with Mike Babcock.
Maybe replay Mike Babcock.
I think we'll do that later in the afternoon, just for you, buddy.
And we're going to play lose.
Nah, I don't know about that. We got Sam Mitchell coming up. We got a lot of things on the go here. We're giving away Marley's tickets, too, as well, to Game 3 tomorrow night at the Rico. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.
And now it's time for the 40-30 low center of gravity grit player of the game.
I'm a professional grinder.
We do have a little grit and grind when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
All right, grit grinder looking back on last night.
I'll go with Nebauskas. They're working hard down there.
They're great.
Yeah, they are. They're good.
I watched their hit. Nick's good. And, of course.
Nabil's the man.
Nabil is the man. I'm going to go with Kyle Lowry.
Bad back and all.
Bad
look at you.
Laid out. And
hey, man, he grinded
through.
Listen,
he grinded through it and played well.
Norman Powell.
Yeah.
He had a couple dunks last night that had that building shaking. You could feel it all throughout the GTA.
Yeah.
And he's in his second year, second round pick. In and out of the starting rotation, in and out of the lineup at times. But, man, he was money last night. You can bank on him continuing to get minutes going into Game 5.
Yeah.
He was great. So we'll catch up with Sam Mitchell around 5:30, look back on Game 5, tee up Game 6 that the Raptors are claiming they're going to treat like a Game 7. We know that's impossible, but still. And Ray's coming up in about 10 minutes. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app.